I'm so excited about this episode. Today, we clobber, debunk, and crush the 7 clobber passages frequently misused to condemn the queer community. In this episode, Janet Edmonds debunks 7 passages frequently misused to condemn the queer community. It is a podcast version of a leaflet that Janet Edmonds has just finished. A link to the leaflet, which is free and downloadable, is in the podcast notes. Faithful listeners know I have quoted her in numerous episodes. Janet is one of my all-time favorite Bible commentators. In this episode, Janet debunks all 7 clobber verses, what Janet calls clobber passages. For this podcast, I have lightly edited this leaflet called God Loves You. Today, we'll read the second half of Janet's leaflet. We covered the first half of the leaflet, 2 queer positive and affirming scriptures, in the last episode. 3 Voices from Speechelo will read Janet's leaflet. As usual, Arthur will read the scripture verses. Jessica, a new teen voice, will read the section headings. And Beatrix, the British female voice, will read most of Janet's words. I will interject several times to amplify points that Janet makes. The first 2 clobber passages are stories from the Old Testament. Because of space limitations, Janet will summarize each story and then provide some historical context and explanations that have originated with scholars who have studied these passages. Hold on to your seats and be prepared to hear the truth. I will now turn it over to Jessica.
The first clobber passage is from the book of Genesis, chapter 19, the story of Sodom.
In summary, this story from the Bible's Old Testament is set in the sinful city of Sodom. The story says that all the men in that town came to the home of a man named Lot, intending to rape 2 male visitors. But Lot was able to protect the visitors by, among other things, offering them his own daughters, thus implying that the townsmen were straight. Ultimately, God decided to destroy Sodom because of its sins. The story has long been misinterpreted as anti-gay, on the assumption that the men of the town were homosexuals. However, Bible scholars say the story was actually intended to teach about the importance of hospitality to the stranger, a common theme in the Old Testament. The story really has nothing to do with homosexuality. Instead, it is an example of how not to treat a visiting stranger.
Indeed, this story has nothing to do with same-sex relationships. I covered this in my most popular episode, Episode 1. Sodom and Gomorrah, the most misused scripture in the Bible. And I discuss some of the nuances of this story in Episode 3, Blame the Gay Guys. On to the second clobber passage.
The second clobber passage is from the book of Judges, chapter 19, verses 1 through 30. The rape of the Levite's concubine.
This Bible story is like the story of Sodom. Townsmen, presumably straight, plot to rape a male visitor.
They are undoubtedly straight men, and I talk about how the Old Testament authors let us know that the evil men in this story were not gay. That is covered in Episodes 2 and 3. Back to Janet.
The rape and murder of the Levite's concubine, like the story of Sodom, was written to teach the ancient Jews how not to act, by showing the townsmen's extreme inhospitable behavior. Again, the townsman's behavior has, mistakenly, been interpreted as somehow related to homosexuality, but this Bible story is not in any way related to consensual homosexual or queer relationships.
The third clobber passage is from the book of Leviticus.
Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination.
The fourth clobber passage is similar.
Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. If a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall be put to death, their blood is upon them.
These texts from the book of Leviticus were part of the Holiness Code, which had as its main purpose to set laws to keep the Jews separate and different from the surrounding cultures. During this time, other cultures participated in agricultural fertility rites in their temples. These involved different forms of sex, including male-to-male sex.
In addition,
the Jews focused on a text from Genesis that decrees to be fruitful and multiply, so laws were written to encourage procreation. The Jewish culture saw this change of sexual partners as mixing the strictly defined roles of man and woman.
The definition of the word abomination was very different from how we use the word today.
Mixing of kinds according to Jewish laws was defined as an abomination, in the same absurd way that the laws claimed that mixing different kinds of seeds in a field, or mixing different materials to make cloth, were defined as an abomination and against Jewish laws. We have left these old Jewish laws behind us. Times have changed and cultural guidelines have changed.
These two clobber verses in Leviticus have troubled many Christians. In English and out of context, they seem so clearly anti-gay male. They are not. For a more complete understanding, you can listen to two of my most popular episodes. Episode 4, Men Lying with Men in Leviticus, and Episode 5, What's with All the Rules in Leviticus, where I crawl through the contradictions and the original purpose of the Holiness Codes.
The fifth clobber verse is in the book of Romans, in the New Testament.
Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. For this reason, God gave them up to degrading passions. Their women exchanged natural intercourse for unnatural, and in the same way also the men, giving up natural intercourse with women, were consumed with passion for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men, and received in their own persons the due penalty for their error.
Paul was the follower of Jesus who wrote the book of Romans, and several other books in the New Testament of the Bible. The behavior Paul was addressing here is explicitly associated with idol worship, probably temple prostitution, probably heterosexual people who searched for pleasure and broke away from their natural sexual orientation or their natural ways of having sex, both male and female, participating in promiscuous sex with anyone available, or used methods not culturally accepted. In the surrounding culture, it was common for men of a higher status to take sexual advantage of male slaves or male prostitutes. Here Paul is instructing his readers to keep pure and honor God. Paul was not talking about homosexuality, and didn't have in mind specifically prohibiting consensual same-sex relationships because they were never considered in his cultural context.
The sixth clobber passage is from 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, sodomites, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, revilers, robbers, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God.
Until recently, I thought the quote was drunkards and revelers, revelers referring to partygoers. But the word is revilers, someone who speaks abusively or contemptuously of another person. Other translations of the Bible translate this passage as verbally abusive people.
Thank you, Elton, for that interesting, but slightly off-topic interjection. Elton talks of the dangers of negative language in episode 14, Finding Your Perfect Match. What does modern research say? What does the Bible say? That whole episode was also slightly off-topic, but fascinating. On to Janet's analysis of these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Paul wrote 1 Corinthians as well as the book of Romans. Paul's list of sinners includes Malakoi and Arsenicoites. Paul wrote the original texts in Greek. Malakoi means soft and is interpreted as male prostitutes. Arsenicoites is difficult to translate, but it probably referred to a male using his superiority to take sexual advantage of another male. Paul is right to condemn these abusive sexual activities, but this has nothing to do with consensual same-sex or queer relationships.
Paul is right to condemn these abusive sexual practices, but they have little to do with consensual sex.
And finally, clobber passage number 7. Again, the Apostle Paul is the author.
1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it legitimately. This means understanding that the law is laid down, not for the innocent, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the godless and sinful, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their father or mother, for murderers, fornicators, sodomites, slave traders, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to the sound teaching that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me.
This passage is similar to the 1 Corinthians text above. Conservatives are using this list of words to justify their discrimination against the LGBTQIA+ community. This time it is a list of sins, as opposed to a list of sinners as in the previous passage, and includes the Greek words, pornoi, arsenicoites, and andropodists. Pornoi most likely refers to a male having sex outside of marriage. Arsenicoites can be defined as male same-sex relationships that involved exploitation, inequality, or abuse. Andropodists can be translated as slave traders.
Scholars believe that the three terms were often used together.
Slave dealers, andropodists, would be acting as pimps for captured boys, pornoi, who would be taken advantage of by powerful men, arsenicoites. When the Bible was written, it was more common for powerful men to take sexual advantage of other men. It's understandable why Paul used these Greek words to address the sinful ways among powerful straight men, but this Bible passage has nothing to do with consensual same-sex relationships or queer individuals in a caring relationship.
The exploitation and the human trafficking of boys and young men still happens today, and Paul quite correctly calls it out as one of humanity's greatest sins. Paul is talking about sexual abuse, sexual violence, and sex slavery, not consensual relationships. Well, that concludes Janet Edmonds' whirlwind tour through the 7 clobber passages frequently misused to condemn the queer community. It is a lot to take in all at once. A link to Janet's leaflet is in the podcast notes. Also in the notes is a link to her original white paper, which is longer and contains more detail. And, of course, the previous episodes of this podcast go through much of the same material in more detail. But do not lose sight of the bottom line. Do not forget the core truth of the Bible.
God loves you, no matter who you are or who you love.
This leaflet was written by Janet Edmonds. Janet is a member of the Bethesda United Methodist Church in Maryland, which has joined the Reconciling Ministries Network, RMN, that works for justice for people of all sexual orientations and genders. Many thanks to Janet. Until next time, you stay safe. This is Elton Sherwin.
And don't forget to check out the new podcast Elton is producing. Its name is Inspiring Solutions for a Better World. It can be found on all major podcasting services. Inspiring Solutions for a Better World.